Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. Lots of other things you can do there, too, as well, including checking out my blog. And thank you to all of you who've been using our blog. And I can't believe how you're using it. It's just great to see that. That's a little thing we invented last year, and it's only been up about maybe 8 months or so. But you guys are using it to your little heart's content, and I like the way you do. When you get there, you spend time on it. And that makes me happy because we work hard to provide things that are of value to you. And, of course, as you know, everything there is free, and hope you'll check it out when you get a chance. That's at smallbusinessadvocate.com. Jeffrey Zabar is all over our website because he's been contributing so many great things to us, so much wisdom and best practices and perspectives and tips and tools for I don't know how long, something under 20 years, I guess, he's been with us. And he's the 2001 Small Business Journalist of the Year. He is the chief home office, the author, I should say, of so many books I couldn't carry them all to Washington with me. And he's our good friend. Jeffrey, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Jim, and great to be with you, and congratulations on working again with the folks over at the SBA. They've got something in you, and it's really great to see that relationship continuing strong.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, Jeff, but you know these guys are worthy. You know that, I mean, you've worked with the SBA.
Yes.
Before. They're real pros. And you know, Jeff, if I could just take a second, one of the things that has just impressed me, and I know it has you too, you've got two different groups of folks here at the SBA. You've got the career people who literally make their career, no matter who's in the White House, at the SBA.
Right.
Then you've got the appointed people who are only here as long as the president's here.
Right.
The day he goes out of office, they're unemployed, and the new president brings in a new group. If you wander around the SBA and work with them, in any given day, you won't know who you're talking to. You won't know whether you're talking to an appointed person or a career person.
Right.
And also, I've seen it. I've seen the transition, and I know you have too, from one administration to the other, a Democrat to Republican, and the level of professionalism of the career people is very impressive.
Right. Well, you know what? It's like when you deal with the SBA on local level, when you deal with the small business development centers at the local land-grant universities. They're not in it. It's like dealing with SCORE or any of these volunteer organizations. They're not in it for themselves. They're not in it for they certainly need to make a paycheck and do what they have to do, except for volunteers for like at SCORE. But they're in it for small business. They're in it to help others. I mean, they're like the librarians of small business. They're there to help you. I mean, that's what they do. And it's just a very rewarding thing to see. And as a business person, it's a very rewarding thing to have out there because they certainly can help you on your way.
In my opinion, the SBA is the most underappreciated, underutilized division of the government that the government has.
Right. And I would agree.
And I sure like to tell people about that. And folks, the SBA is not just in Washington, D.C. They're all over the place. There's one near you, they say.
Exactly.
What kind of words of wisdom, what pearls would you like to cast before us today?
Well, it's interesting. As a writer, a small business writer, I do a variety of stories, and one that's popped up recently through my own sort of research and writing and just interviewing and talking with entrepreneurs is the importance of dealing with customers and treating them right, and beyond just delivering good customer service, delivering stellar customer service, making a great product, and if something goes wrong, making it right, with the ultimate goal of turning customers into evangelists. Because
you're talking about wow stuff.
You're talking about wow stuff. I mean, make them walk away and say, wow, I really like that experience, and I'm going to tell my friends from the rooftops. Because, you know, you can spend whatever money you want on advertising, but, you know, there is nothing better than a testimonial. There's nothing better than Sue telling Bob and telling Frank and telling Stan and telling Mary, and they all end up coming in your door, and you really see some stellar you know, again, this stellar customer evangelism that outshines any sort of advertising you could run.
Well, the thing, you know, the best marketing plans, the best advertising campaigns, Jeff, as you know, are the ones that are on newspaper, they're in radio, they're on television, they're on billboards, wherever, it's multimedia, wherever you go, you see the message. Those are the best ones. But you can spend $1 billion on that kind of, those kinds of messages, and if you don't take care of the other media, the human-to-human media,
right.
If you don't deliver on what the billboard says, then basically you just blew $1 billion.
Well, and I think that's also the issue.
And of course, as you know, if you and I spend $1,000, that's like $1 billion to us, isn't it?
Exactly. It's tied on small business, and I think that's where it really has to go in. So, for example, if you're a small business owner and you've created a marketing plan because you know you've got to take your business to the next level, or you're launching your business and you've got to grow it, or you're midway and you just want to have, you know, you don't want to have stellar growth. You want to just be slow and steady to win the race, you know, to win the day. If your marketing plan doesn't have something with regards to delivering stellar customer service, and just making sure that the customer is satisfied, that if that's not even top on your list, I mean, first off, why are you doing what you do? You know, I never understand, like the commercial on TV where the guy says, oh, I didn't want mayonnaise on this. A woman takes the bread and scrapes out the mayonnaise on the edge of the table. I mean, now that's the difference between having an employee who couldn't give a hoot. Now, you know, you may have the best customer service philosophy as an owner, but you got to make sure it trickles down throughout your entire organization. But it's got to be core to what you do. And at the very top of as you're saying, you know, if you don't have good customer service, you're not going to have customers to worry about it.
Right. Well, what does stellar customer service look like to you?
I think stellar customer service starts with identifying your values for the entire organization. If you're a soloist working from home, if you run a small business with 5, 10, 20, 50 employees, it's got to connect. The first time someone walks in that door for an interview, you got to be able to pick it out. And realize, and that's an interview for a job position, you got to be able to pick it out and identify that this person has the values, that they care. Now, of course, some people can wing it, and they can sort of fib and flub and make you think that they have it, but you got to be a good people person and understand, sort of a judge of character. And it starts with the person, and then it emanates out through the group so that everyone is on the same page.
So you're saying hire people. First, you got to have values, and folks, your values are not the same thing as your goals and your objectives.
Right.
They're more intrinsic than that. They're more core. They're more inside of you. They're more essential to your being. Your values are, and you're saying hire people who you think can deliver those values. And when we come back, we'll get you to expand on that a little bit more. We're on to some good stuff here, folks, with our good friend Jeffrey Zabar. I'm Jim Blasingame, and Jeff and I are celebrating Small Business Week. I hope you are. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, broadcasting from our nation's capital, celebrating Small Business Week. Jeffrey Zabar is our guest. You know, Jeff, if I didn't laugh at myself, I'd miss some of the best laughs of my life. you ever have that feeling, Jeff?
Every day.
And when you're around my bunch, my organization, you better laugh first because they're going to laugh at you.
I tell you what, we laugh doubly hard when we're together, so it's a good thing.
You got to beat them to the punch. Hey, Jeff, we're talking about delivering what you call stellar customer service, and I really like what you said. By the way, before we go any further, folks, I really encourage you to check out Jeff's website. It's an outstanding one. He's got some great stuff there. Anything, if you're small business or home-based, especially home-based, or want to be, you need to know about Jeff and the things that he writes, his books, and they can find them all at your website, can't they, Jeff?
Yes, they can. And the site is www.chiefhomeofficer.com.
And it's a good one, and they can sign up for your newsletter there, too, can't they?
They have my newsletter sign up right there on the homepage, and the hundreds of articles to read about entrepreneurship, small business. It's not all home officing. It's anything it takes to run a small business or work virtually, work outside the traditional corporate office.
Jeff's got some good technology stuff there, too, if you're interested in that. Jeff, you were talking about stellar customer service, and I like what you said about if you want to make sure that you are able to deliver that kind of service, make sure you have the right people.
Right.
And that's really step one, isn't it?
If you're a typical small business owner, you cannot be or don't want to be in the store or minding the shop every open hour that you have. There'll be times that you have managers. If you're growing a small business, you'll have managers. I spoke to a gentleman who's down here in South Florida. He runs an ink and toner shop. So he's out making deliveries because he says it's key. Now, he's going to hire a delivery man, but he says it's key for when he hires that delivery person for once a week for him to get out on the road and make the deliveries.
Right.
But when he's out on the road, he's going to have somebody who's minding the shop. And if that person doesn't reflect and truly, from their heart, reflect your values, then you don't know that they're going to how they're going to treat customers and what the end result's going to be if someone comes in and has a bad experience. They might tell one person about a great experience. They might tell 30 about a bad experience. So you don't get that second chance to make a good impression or to set someone straight. If there's something that goes wrong, you got to make it right, but you got to try your darndest, to make sure it doesn't go wrong in the first place.
Either one of those. That's exactly right. What's the next step?
Well, I think that key is making sure that what you're doing is speaking the language of success and speaking the language of what these people are going to expect out of you. So, for example, if there is a problem, or if somebody asks you, can you deliver this? I was speaking to our friend Joanna Brandy, who's a customer mm-hmm. care coach, and she said, for example, never say no problem. Never say,
I hate it when people say that to me.
No problem. No worries. I say no worries, but
she's somebody waiting on
me
says that. It's just,
right.
That's just, folks, and Jeff, I've said this on the show before. Don't do that. Don't say that.
Right.
If you hear one of your people saying no problem to a customer, get them aside immediately.
Right.
And get everybody together and say, folks, that may work in Australia. It doesn't work here.
Right. Right. It's casting a negative where there should be a positive. I can do that.
It makes it seem as if that there is something that the customer, it implies the customer is imposing on the salesperson or
right.
whoever's helping you.
Right. You have the implied imposition, but also it's casting a negative pall. Everything, you should only use positive words to strengthen your message, sort of from a psychological point of view, and make sure that people come away with, they're doing something for me, not I'm imposing upon them, like you said. And as sort of Joanna said, it kind of leaves you with an icky feeling subliminally when someone says, no problem. No problem, I can handle that. I can do that for you. Just leave out the no.
Well,
accentuate the positive.
It's a young kid thing. I mean, the younger generation started, I think they kind of got it going. And they talk among them, they talk when they talk to themselves or to their parents, I guess, they do that, but it's percolated upward
right.
to more and more folks. So
right.
anyway, that's a kiss of death right there,
right.
no problem. If you
right.
say that to me, you're right. I mean, it just hits me the wrong way.
Right, no problem. I'll never say that to you.
What's the next one?
Well, I think also just keeping in touch with your good customers. I was at a gentleman's office yesterday. He's a videographer, and I was looking at his board, a cork board that he has on his wall, and it had dozens, I'm telling you, dozens of letters of satisfied customers because he keeps in touch with them. He makes sure they know what's going on. He's, they're spending it, whether it's a wedding, a rite of passage, a quince, which is a Hispanic, a young Hispanic girl's rite of passage, or a bar bat mitzvah, sweet 16s. He's doing these videos, and people are writing back to him because he's keeping in touch with them mm-hmm. all throughout the process, making sure that they are happy and satisfied with how it's going. Stay in touch with your customers from a positive point of view.
In the 21st century, not only is it more important to do that because they've got so many other options to do business, but it's easier too, isn't it?
It's easier, but don't rely on the email. It's not about the email. In fact, I'm having new stationery made so with cards and envelopes so I can just write a note. Someone spent some time with me earlier this week, an advertising agency, and I hand wrote a card with postage on it, no postal meter, postage, out the door. They'll remember that more than they will an email.
No question. Give us the website again, Jeff.
www.chiefhomeofficer.com.
Thanks, Jeff, for being here. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Jim, always great. Thanks for having
Jeff
me. Good
bar,
luck
ladies and gentlemen. He's the best. Quick break. Right back with our new friend, Todd Stottlemyre, right after these messages.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.